For scripture this morning, turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews, chapter 11. All right, out of respect for the Word of God, let's stand together as I begin reading with verse 11. Verse 11. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable.
Now you might find it interesting that there are only two women named in the Hall of Faith, though others are mentioned or alluded to. The two women mentioned are Sarah in verse 11 and Rahab the harlot in verse 31. Both women, incidentally, are ancestors of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sarah was the mother of the Jewish people through Isaac, and Rahab entered that lineage through marriage after her faith saved her not only from physical destruction, but also eternal destruction. She went from a lost and condemned sinner in a lost and condemned city under the judgment of God to a saved sinner, added to the household of faith, and became a great, 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 great grandmother of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, before I move on, I want to say faith still saves sinners. And if God could save a Rahab the harlot, He can save any of us this morning, and He wants to. Now we're going to focus on the faith of Sarah today. It's hard to miss Sarah in the Bible. She's the most mentioned woman in the entire book. Her name in three different versions, whether it's Sarai, Sarah with an H, or Sarah without an H, occurs about 100 times in the Scriptures. Genesis describes her as a woman of exceptional physical beauty. Now the Bible teaches that beauty is a fading flower. But Sarah seems to have been the exception to the rule. She turned the heads of peasants and pharaohs alike. And Abraham was so concerned about her that he convinced her to lie and say that she was his sister, because he was certain that the men of Egypt would kill him to take his wife. When she was 65 years old, Abraham told her, "I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon." By the way, men, if you memorize one verse of the Bible, memorize that verse of the Bible. And every time your wife says, "How does this dress look upon me?" just quote the Scripture and say, "I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon." "You like my new hairstyle?" "I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon." "Does this make me look fat?" To say, "Do I look stupid?" Don't answer that. But Abraham told her, she's 65 years old. And Abraham said, "I know thou art a fair woman to look upon." But her beauty did not seem to fade. Even 30 years later, almost 30 years later, when she was almost 90 years of age. But in Hebrews 11, she is mentioned not for her looks, but for her faith. And by the way, Proverbs 31:30 says that favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. Boy, some young girls are all wrapped up in making themselves up and trying to look like something they're not. But folks, you can only put on so much makeup over the years. It's the inner beauty that lasts. And Proverbs 30 says, "The woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised." And Sarah had a natural beauty, but she also had a faith on the inside that Hebrews mentions. And I don't think Sarah gets enough credit for her faith. Behind Abraham, that great giant of faith, was a woman, a wife of unusual faith. Was her faith perfect? No, no more than Abraham's faith was perfect. But over her long life of 127 years, by the way, the only woman in the Bible whose age is mentioned. Ever since then, it's been an unwritten, you're not supposed to talk about it, it's an unspoken subject. But she died at 127 years of age. And she had a long life of faith and failures. But God saw fit only to include the triumph of her faith in Hebrews chapter 11. You might notice if you read verses 8 down through verse 16, you find first in verses 8 through 10, it describes Abraham. Verse 11 describes Sarah's faith. And then in verse 12 through 16, it changes from he or her to they, describing their faith as a husband and wife. What we find in the tents of Abraham was a family of faith. A family of faith. A marriage of faith. A union of two believers who are willing to follow and trust God and let God work in their lives. By the way, that's a blessed arrangement. When a husband and wife are both believers in God and both willing to live by faith and walk by faith and to raise their son in faith and to pass on their faith, that's a blessed arrangement. I want you to consider a few thoughts about Sarah's faith this morning. Notice first, the pilgrimage of Sarah's faith. The pilgrimage of Sarah's faith in verse 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Now we know that Abraham and Sarah began their wedded life in Ur of the Chaldees. Back then, it was a coastline city on the Persian Gulf. Now, it's miles and miles and miles away from the shore, but don't worry because, hey, climate change is something that's new. It never has changed anything in the past. And they lived on the coastline of Ur of the Chaldees, and that was a land filled with idolatry. In fact, the Bible teaches that Terah, Abraham's father, was an idol worshiper. And the Jews say in their writings that he was an idol maker. And so here Abraham and Sarah, they've grown up in this land of idolatry. And the father and the family, the household, I mean, their whole family business is the making of idols. And at some point in their life, they came to know the Lord God of heaven. The Bible does not say when Abraham first came to faith in God or when he first began to turn his back on the idols of Ur of the Chaldees. It could have been when God appeared and called him to leave the land of his family. We're not sure exactly when it took place. We do know that it must have been hard for them to turn their backs on the land that they'd grown up in and to go to a place that they knew not of. In fact, God didn't even tell them where they were going. They were just supposed to pack up their stuff and go. And by the way, sometimes when you turn to Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or you begin to live a life of true dedication to Him and His cause, it means a turning of the back on some things in your life. And walking away from some things, even sometimes family traditions and family that would hold you back so that you can follow God and to do what He wants you to do in your life. This was a pilgrimage of faith. How would you like it if your husband came home and said, pack your bags? Why, are we going on vacation? No. Pack it all. Well, when we go on vacation, she packs it all anyway. My wife does. Pack everything. We're not coming back. God has called us to go and to leave this place and to go. And Sarah probably said, she probably asked a lot of questions, but she probably said, where are we going? That doesn't sound like a lot to ask. I remember when I was about 12 years old, maybe I was 13, and my father and I drove from Virginia to Texas to visit my grandparents. Mother didn't come. And my brother didn't come, but we came together. And while we were in Weatherford, my dad decided that we were going to move to Texas. Well, that's just common sense. Amen. Who would want to live in Texas? But he called my mother back in Virginia and said, I think we ought to move to Texas. My dad said, he'll give us an acre of land. We can build a house out here and start a new life. Everything was bad in Virginia. It wasn't good for our family because of my brother and his decisions. And no one was happy in the family. And Mom said, I don't want to move to Texas. I got a job here. We have careers here. We have a house here. Dad said, I think this is what we ought to do. And he hung up the phone and we drove from Weatherford to Memphis. Now, kids, this was back in the dark ages. before we had cell phones. The only time you could call someone is if you're actually at a place that had a phone that connected to the wall. Or maybe a phone box. You know, you think that's just what Superman changes clothes in, but actually you used to be able to go into those things and put a dime in and make a phone call. And we drove from Weatherford to Memphis and stopped for the night. And my dad was sick. I mean, my dad didn't say 10 words the whole 10-hour drive. He was sick to his stomach. His mom didn't want to move to Texas, and he thought they should. And he called my mom from Memphis at the hotel room. And she said, well, I've been thinking about it all day. If this is what you think we should do, let's do it. I'm behind you. I followed you all around the world. What's one more trip? What she said. But how would you like it if your husband came home and said, we're moving. Where to? I don't know. But I don't find Sarah arguing. I find Sarah following. I find her also walking in his steps of faith with faith of her own. You see, faith is always stepping into the unknown. Saving faith is trusting someone you cannot see. I stand here and I tell you about Jesus Christ and that He loves you and that He died for your sins and He was buried and He rose again and He's up in heaven and He's willing to save you if you simply call upon His name. And all you have to go by is the word of this book to know that that person lives and has offered you eternal life. That's faith. That's faith. Well, living faith is also trusting in an invisible God to keep His promises. We walk by faith, not by sight. They were following God's promise. And what do we have but God's promise? Let me say again that blessed is the married couple in which both spouses want to live for God and live by faith. So often it's one spouse dragging the other along, kicking and screaming sometimes. Or it's one spouse trying to go forward and the other dragging their feet. But oh, when we find Abraham and Sarah, we find a married couple who, as far as I can tell, were in lockstep together and following God together and pursuing God's plan for their life together. When Abraham left by faith, Sarah also left by faith because she trusted what God had said and was following Him wherever He led. Her life was an adventure of faith. God gives us many of the highlights of that life, but you know, it was a day-by-day pilgrimage, decade after decade, trusting God and following on. Well, let me point out a second thing about Sarah's faith, and that is the persistence of her faith. Now, let me read to you from Genesis 12. It says, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. So God made this promise to Abraham, but it includes Sarah, and they have trusted His promise, and they are pursuing His promise. Now, Genesis 12 says that Abraham was 75 years old when he left Haran. By the way, no young child, you know, he wasn't a teenager rebelling against his dad, so he decides to embrace a new religion. 75 years old, and has this sudden change of life. And he's 75 when he left Haran, and Genesis 17 says he was 99, when God promised him a son by Sarah. And Genesis 21 says he was 100 years old when Isaac was born. 75 when he left Haran. 100 when Isaac was born. Folks, that's 25 years, even by my public school math education. 25 years from promise to fulfillment. Promise to fulfillment. That's a long time to wait for a baby when you're starting out at 65. Sarah was 10 years younger than Abraham. Verse 9 says, By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles. You ought to look at that word sojourn. That's the persistence of their faith. They left Ur. They're following by faith. Here we are in the land that God has promised us. And now God has promised to make us the parents of many nations and bless those who bless us and curse those that curse us. And here we are in the land, but God still hasn't fulfilled the promise. Sarah still hasn't had a child. 25 years they sojourned. They walked up and down the length of the land. 25 years they went back and forth, living in tabernacles, tents, Now, they were nice tents. And I got to thinking about it, you know, considering the kind of homes people lived in back then, mud huts, and their tent might have been a lot nicer than what a lot of people were living in. They're sojourning. I don't think Mrs. Raspberry would want to live in a tent, but I'm just thinking that sojourning. She's 65 when they leave. Now she's 67. Now she's 70. Now she's 75. Woohoo, birthday party, 75. Now she's 80. Now she's 81. Now she's 85. You see the persistence of her faith? She had followed God, but it was a long time coming before there was the fulfillment. Now, I think I would do you a disservice by not pointing out the three major mistakes they made while they were sojourning in the land. The first was they got scared in famine and ran to Egypt. You can read about that in Genesis, I believe, chapter 17. And it was in Egypt that Abraham and Sarah, they got scared. There was a famine that came. The water was drying up. Food was getting scarce. Let's run down to Egypt. They have plenty of food there. And while they're running in their fear, Abraham says, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Tell everyone you're my sister so they don't kill me to get you. Okay. They go down in there undercover, lying, faithless. And Pharaoh looked over at Sarah and, now, this is in the ancient text, but he went, is she married? Oh, no, that's just her brother. Oh, bring her to my house. I'm going to add her to my harem. She'll be my wife now. She's fair. And they brought Sarah to his house. Now, Abraham's in this mess because he lied. But his wife has been taken by Pharaoh into his house. And, boy, it was a mess that God had to bail him out of. And so, we find that sometimes when we lose our faith, or we have a fear that comes in our life, and we feel like we've got to do something, and so we make the wrong decision, and we get away from the place of God's blessings, and we stoop to inferior means of taking care of business, like lying. And oh, I've known Christians to start lying when they got themselves into a bind. The warning is not to let fear move you from the will of God. The second mistake was one of impatience. See, in Genesis 16, Sarah decided that if God wasn't going to give her a child naturally, she'd just get one for herself another way. Now, I've always said that if people want to have children, they can't have children naturally, they should consider adoption and things like that. But Sarah, she went a whole other way. She went to her husband Abraham and said, here's my good-looking young servant girl Hagar. Take her and have a child by her, and I'll just claim that as mine. And Abraham foolishly complied, brought Ishmael into the world. Ishmael is the father of the Arab nations of the world. God said about Ishmael that he was like a wild donkey of a man, that his hand was against every man and everyone's hand was against him. And I think we still see a lot of that today. Oh, if Sarah had simply not gotten impatient. Her faith persisted, but it stumbled. She found that waiting by faith is harder than walking by faith. Boy, it's easy. You're in Ur of the Chaldees. Man, you're fired up. God called us. Let's go. We're walking by faith. We come to the land of Canaan, and here we are. This is exciting. What a blessing. I've reached the destination. Where's the answer to the promise? Now you got to sojourn a while. But it's been 20 years. You got to sojourn a while. But it's been 10 years. You got to sojourn a while. But I'm getting impatient. Maybe, you know, doesn't 2 Opinions 3:16 say that God helps those who help themselves? Well, that's a pretty good saying. But man, you can't do what God can do. God was going to give them a child together, but in His timing and in His way. And they decided to take matters in their own hands. And man, every time a suicide bomber blows up a bunch of innocent people in some far off city, we're still reaping the consequences of Abraham and Hagar bringing Ishmael into the world. Because people get impatient. The third major mistake was repeating the first. Because in Genesis 20, they went down to Gerar where Abimelech was king, and Abimelech looked over at Sarah, and you know what the ancient text says he did? Is she married? Oh no, that's her brother. Get her! Brought her into his house. Why didn't Abraham learn that doesn't work? But, you know, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you. And here Abraham is. He's made the same mistake twice. Sarah's going along with it for the second time. It's not working out. It never does work out. But we're going to try it again. Sometimes I think when we are sojourning in our faith and we're waiting for the promise, it's easy to start making mistakes and it's easy to start stumbling. And yes, it's easy to even make the same mistakes over and over again. Three big mistakes in 25 years. I wonder if we're going to do that well. Amen. Let's not be too hard on them. You see, God includes this so we don't think that Abraham and Sarah are superhumans. They weren't superhuman. They were just people. And they illustrate for us that our faith can be persistent, but if we're not careful, we can stumble and make some bad decisions that hurt us on into the future. Well, let's look at the third point, and that is the persuasion of her faith. Verse 11 says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. The persuasion of her faith. She judged him faithful who had promised. Now in Genesis 18, God came to Abraham's tent with two angels. They were talking. Sarah's inside the tent with a bottle, a glass against the tent door, listening, eavesdropping. And God said, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. God said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. And it says, therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? Now folks, I don't think that needs much interpretation. Sarah said, I'm old and he's older. And now we're going to have a child. And she laughed, not out loud. She just laughed on the inside. But God heard her. God said to Abraham, why did she laugh? And he said, I don't know why she laughed. And Sarah said, I didn't laugh. Oh, yes, you laughed. Well, you wait another year. You'll see. And when Isaac was born, you know what Isaac means? You all know this. It means laughter. Abraham laughed. Sarah laughed. Then they're all laughing with joy because Isaac has come into the world. Now, she laughed at first. But then the Bible says, then she judged. That means she began to look at the facts. She began to examine the situation. And she said, you know, 25 years ago, God called us and brought us here, and God made us a promise. And God has sustained us all this time. And God has blessed us all this time. And God has been faithful to us. And God has kept His word. And she judged Him faithful who had promised. So though she laughed at first, her faith overcame her initial response. And I still say many of us wouldn't have laughed. We would have passed out. She laughed at first on the inside. Then she got embarrassed. She tried to lie about it. But after a while, she began to think about it and to judge. And her faith overcame her initial response because she judged Him faithful who had promised. That's faith. Do you consider God faithful? Do you trust His promise? Are you willing to believe and act like it? I mean, we see the promises of God, but are we persuaded that God is able to do what He said He would do? So we see the pilgrimage of Sarah's faith and the persistence of Sarah's faith and the persuasion of Sarah's faith. Notice fourthly, the perfection of Sarah's faith in verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. What we find in Abraham and Sarah was not a perfect faith, but a perfecting faith. In other words, it was a faith that was growing and maturing towards perfection. They saw afar off. They pursued after it. They didn't have their eyes back on Ur of the Chaldees. They didn't have a two-way ticket. Sometimes Christians, they leave the world, but they're on a train with a two-way ticket just in case they want to head back. They have their eyes on heaven. They have their eyes on God. They have their eyes on God's promise. They turn their back on the world and they never look back. They were not mindful of that place. They never sat at the kitchen table and said, you know, I think we ought to go back to where we came from. It wasn't even in their minds. It wasn't even in their hearts. They were pursuing God. They had hearts set on God. They had their eyes set on a heavenly country and a heavenly city. And you notice it said that God was not ashamed to be called their God. Isn't that an amazing statement? I wonder how many people claim the name of God, but God would be embarrassed to be identified with them. Not Abraham and Sarah. Oh, sometimes they're like His little children. They'd mess up and He'd have to come bail them out, but God was not ashamed to be called their God. Because they turned their backs on the world and they had a faith that was perfecting. It wasn't perfect, but it was getting closer and it was growing and it was improving. God was not ashamed to be called their God. Is your faith perfecting? Is it growing and maturing? Are your eyes set on a heavenly country? Do you live like a pilgrim on a journey? Or do you think that the Christian life is a vacation and one day you're going to go back to the world because that's where you're more comfortable? Are you always looking back or are you always looking forward? In Genesis 23, Sarah died at age 127. But she lived on in her son, Isaac. And she lived on through millions and millions and millions who came through her family. Most importantly, she lives on forever in that heavenly country because her faith was in God. How is your faith today? Are you saved? Do you know for sure that heaven's your home? Is your faith growing? Is it stumbling? Is it weak? Are you willing to be patient as you wait by faith? Are you willing to walk by faith? Are you willing to do whatever God wants you to do? Are you persuaded that what He has promised He's able to perform?